No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, everyone, to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 9th day of July. It is so good to be here with you. As we wind our way through the Word of God together every day, until we make it a whole year. And in that whole year, we will make it through the entire Bible. Now, this is chronological. This means that we read the Bible in order of events that happened as best as theologians and historians can tell. And so if you have just a Bible that you open up and you read, that is the books of the Bible in order from Old Testament to New Testament. If you listen to the Daily Audio Bible, that is Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, and Psalms every day, a different passage. This is chronological, which means we are in the Old Testament for most of the year. But hang tight. Hang tight, because the tides will turn. We will meet this man named Jesus. And we have read some pretty prominent characters in the Old Testament, leaders, men of great conduct and great character, great integrity, very human, which we should really be grateful for, that we can identify our own humanity in these people. But Jesus is a man of a completely different kind, both fully man, fully God. And we are getting to the story of Jesus, and he has single-handedly affected the world, the culture, Christianity, humanity, and no one greater has affected such events of history or humanity as this man, as this Savior named Jesus. So if you're brand new here, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We are still in the Old Testament, going to be here for a little bit longer, and then we will turn the page one day, and not just turn the page, but turn the page 400 years, and we will meet this man named Jesus. But for today, we're going to meet a man named Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, by reading the first four chapters of the book of Isaiah. And this week we're reading the Christian Standard Bible, Isaiah chapter 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah of Judah. Listen, heavens, and pay attention, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have raised children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's feeding trough. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. O sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, brood of evildoers, depraved children, they have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned their backs on him. Why do you want more beatings? Why do you keep on rebelling? The whole head is hurt, and the whole heart is sick. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, no spot is uninjured. Wounds, welts, and festering sores, not cleansed, bandaged, or soothed with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities burn down. Foreigners devour your fields right in front of you, a desolation like a place demolished by foreigners. Daughter Zion is abandoned like a shelter in a vineyard, like a shack in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of armies had not left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom we would resemble Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are all your sacrifices to me? Asks the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of well-fed cattle. I have no desire for the blood of bulls, lambs, or male goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires this from you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing useless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons and Sabbaths and the calling of solemn assemblies. I cannot stand iniquity with a festival. I hate your new moons and prescribed festivals. They have become a burden to me. I am tired of putting up with them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will refuse to look at you. Even if you offer countless prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Pursue justice. Correct the oppressor. Defend the rights of the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are crimson red, they will be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The faithful town, what an adulteress she has become. She was once full of justice. Righteousness once dwelt in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross to be discarded. Your beer is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, friends of thieves. They all love graft and chase after bribes. They do not defend the rights of the fatherless, and the widow's case never comes before them. Therefore, the Lord God of armies, the mighty one of Israel, declares, "Ah, I will get even with my foes. I will take revenge against my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and will burn away your dross completely. I will remove all your impurities. I will restore your judges to what they were at first and your advisors to what they were at the start. Afterward, you will be called the righteous city, a faithful town. Zion will be redeemed by justice, those who repent by righteousness. At the same time, both rebels and sinners will be broken, and those who abandon the Lord will perish. Indeed, they will be ashamed of the sacred trees you desired, and you will be embarrassed because of the garden shrines you have chosen. For you will become like an oak whose leaves are withered, and like a garden without water. The strong one will become tinder, and his work a spark. Both will burn together, with no one to extinguish the flames." The vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. All nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, "Come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among the nations and provide arbitration for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. House of Jacob, come and let's walk in the Lord's light, for you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are full of divination from the east and of fortune tellers like the Philistines. They are in league with foreigners. Their land is full of silver and gold, and there is no limit to their treasures. Their land is full of horses, and there is no limit to their chariots. Their land is full of worthless idols. They worship the work of their hands, what their fingers have made. So humanity is brought low, and each person is humbled. Do not forgive them. Go into the rocks and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from his majestic splendor. The pride of mankind will be humbled, and human loftiness will be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted on that day. For a day belonging to the Lord of armies is coming against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up. It will be humbled against all the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the high mountains, against all the lofty hills, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against every ship of Tarshish, and against every splendid sea vessel. The pride of mankind will be brought low, and human loftiness will be humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted on that day. The worthless idols will vanish completely. People will go into caves in the rocks and holes in the ground, away from the terror of the Lord and from his majestic splendor when he rises to terrify the earth. On that day, people will throw their worthless idols of silver and gold, which they made to worship, to the moles and the bats. They will go into the caves of the rocks and the crevices in the cliffs, away from the terror of the Lord and from his majestic splendor, when he rises to terrify the earth. Put no more trust in a mere human who has only the breath in his nostrils. What is he really worth? Note this. The Lord God of armies is about to remove from Jerusalem and from Judah every kind of security, the entire supply of bread and water, heroes and warriors, judges and prophets, fortune tellers and elders, commanders of 50 and dignitaries, counselors, cunning magicians and necromancers. I will make youths their leaders, and unstable rulers will govern them. The people will oppress one another, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. The young will act arrogantly toward the old, and the worthless toward the honorable. A man will even seize his brother in his father's house, saying, "You have a cloak, you be our leader. This heap of rubble will be under your control." On that day, he will cry out, saying, "I'm not a healer. I don't even have food or clothing in my house. Don't make me the leader of the people. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because they have spoken and acted against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. The look on their faces testifies against them, and like Sodom, they flaunt their sin. They do not conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought disaster on themselves. Tell the righteous that it will go well for them, for they will eat the fruit of their labor. Woe to the wicked, it will go badly for them, for what they have done will be done to them. Youths oppress my people, and women rule over them. My people, your leaders mislead you. They confuse the direction of your paths. The Lord rises to argue the case and stands to judge the people. The Lord brings this charge against the elders and leaders of his people. You have devastated the vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. Why do you crush my people and grind the faces of the poor? This is the declaration of the Lord God of armies. The Lord also says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, walking with heads held high and seductive eyes, prancing along, jingling their ankle bracelets. The Lord will put scabs on the heads of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will shave their foreheads bare. On that day, the Lord will strip their finery, ankle bracelets, headbands, crescents, pendants, bracelets, veils, headdresses, ankle jewelry, sashes, perfume bottles, amulets, signet rings, nose rings, festive robes, capes, cloaks, purses, garments, linen clothes, turbans, and shawls. Instead of perfume, there will be a stench. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of beautifully styled hair, baldness. Instead of fine clothes, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. Your men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. Then her gates will lament and mourn. Deserted, she will sit on the ground. On that day, seven women will seize one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and provide our own clothing. Just let us bear your name. Take away our disgrace." On that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of Israel's survivors. Whoever remains in Zion and whoever is left in Jerusalem will be called holy, all in Jerusalem written in the book of life. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the blood guilt from the heart of Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of burning, then the Lord will create a cloud of smoke by day and a glowing flame of fire by night over the entire site of Mount Zion and over its assemblies. For there will be a canopy over all the glory, and there will be a shelter for shade from heat by day, and a refuge and shelter from storm and rain. Some poignant words today from the prophet Isaiah. Let's talk about the context of these words. Isaiah is a major prophet in the Old Testament. The book of Isaiah is the most quoted Old Testament book that is quoted in the New Testament. Lots of references made back to the prophecies, the warnings from God through Isaiah. So the first half speaks of the judgment. We talk about that judgment and then mercy. The judgment of God, the consequence of not keeping the vow, the oath, the covenant that the people made to God. We have the consequences, the judgment. And then comes the mercy, the redemption, when there is a turning, when there is a repentance, a coming back, then God is merciful. And maybe we can recognize this and understand this in our own lives. It is hard to be merciful toward people who are not repentant. Oftentimes, there's no repentance. It's just a scathing. It's an avoidance. Like, let's just get through this. Yeah. You have some hurt. I offended you, but I'm sorry, and you need to forgive me, and let's get through this. Those are repentant words, but they're full of avoidance, if I'm just being honest. And what God is looking for is a repentant heart. Heart is the actions that come from the heart. It's easy to say words and to continue right along in the same path because we want people to forget. We want people to overlook what they saw so that we can continue in our ways. But God is looking for a heart of repentance. And so as we read these words, knowing that this is for both Israel and Judah, if we remember, Israel has split into the north and the south. Judah and Israel, they had never been split before. They will never not be split again. And so we have these kings that are ruling, and so many did evil in the sight of the Lord. They followed their father's ways and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And when evil is done in leadership, people follow the evil. We call it good. We justify it however we want to, until we read the Bible, and then we know the difference. And so some of the kings that we've read, we've just had sort of a basic overlaying. They've done evil in the sight of God. But now we're hearing the specifics of the dependencies that the people turn to instead of God. The Lord, God of armies, is about to remove from Jerusalem and from Judah every kind of security, the entire supply of bread and water, heroes and warriors, judges and prophets, fortune tellers and elders, commanders of 50 and dignitaries, counselors, cunning magicians, and necromancers, which is someone who summons the dead, someone who tries to communicate with the dead. Now, even in our own understanding, we can look back, if we are paying attention, if we are open to receive and to understand, we can look back at history and see patterns of leadership, see patterns of arrogance and pride. We can see patterns of abuse and power, and follow the trail of what happens with such things. We're witnessing the trail so far in the book of Kings, the Kings and the Chronicles, and now Isaiah. We are following the patterns of what happens when people do evil in the sight of God. And so we go back and take notes, and we can apply that to the foreshadowing of what happens in the future if things don't change. And I realize the weight of this next statement. I've considered it. I've paused and considered it. And I'm making a conscientious decision to say it here and now. It becomes dangerous within our Christian culture when we listen and follow certain voices that tell us what we want to hear, that tell us anything that feels good or seems right, when we follow the masses because that's what everybody else is believing, and it leads us into the same patterns of destruction. When we don't know God's voice for ourselves, when we do not know the word of God, and that lone voice crying out from the wilderness that is warning people to return, telling us it's not a them problem on the outside trying to afflict us within. It is a we problem. It is us problem. It is a heart problem of every single one of us. Our pride can keep us blinded. Our pride can keep us deceived. Our pride can keep us superior and arrogant, and we dismiss that we have any role to play in the evil that is in the world. We have to know the word of God and know who is speaking the word of God within the context of the words that apply to the right situations and not just a scripture that is pulled because it sounds good and we make it relevant to what is happening today, because we can pull scriptures out of context to apply to just about any situation we want to. The problem is what we usually pull has an opposite meaning of what we are interpreting it. So this book of Isaiah from the prophet Isaiah, there's some harsh words. We understand that they are for a specific people in a specific place during a specific time. But we can use these words to examine our own heart. We can use these words to see if there is anything within here that needs to be cleaned up. We can hear these words. We can heed the warnings based on a heart of evil that breeds evil, and consider that it's not a them problem. It is an us problem. God is wanting justice restored back to the people that he called and set apart. And I love some of the word pictures in the reading today. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are crimson red, they will be like wool. Have you ever tried to get blood out of a pair of white baseball pants? Have you ever tried to get blood out of anything white? You mamas of boys know how difficult that is. It is nearly impossible to take something blood-stained and return it back to white as wool without blemish. I don't know about you, but I want to be white as snow. I want the purification process to take place. And purification within the Bible, the context of the Bible, is often demonstrated through fire. Something to be purified either needs to be rinsed, washed and washed and washed, or it needs to be burned away. And the grace and the justice and the grace and the justice and the mercy of God is to send a lone voice to say it's coming one way or another. You can humble yourself, or God will humble you. Jesus, may we look within today. May we each one of us, each and every one of us, stop and pause and look within. May we examine the voices that we are giving so much of our lives to. May we consider their words. May we consider why we are listening to them. May we ask you. May we consult with you. May we trust that you will speak to us. Is this voice from you? Is this voice of you? Am I giving life to something that is lifeless? And may we each have the courage, when we know that it is not your voice, to walk in the opposite direction. Speak to your children, God. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive all that it is that you want to say, to speak, and to do within us, among us, and through us. And I pray all of this in the name of the Holy Father, your precious Son, and your unmatchless Holy Spirit. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to I want to see.